Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chantreff, RJ Choppy, and Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. That HOV portion of the expressway was driven by Mercedes-Benz of Plano. The agent for Micah Parsons has responded. Is Jerry Jones going to be in trouble with the league? The man who got the response and wrote the column is Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, Football Night in America, joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Mike. How are you, sir?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well. David Mulugeta, what did he have to say back to you after Jerry's disrespect?
Well, I thought that he took the high road. Basically, it's not about me, he said. It's never about me. It's about trying to get a contract for Micah Parsons that secures multi-generational wealth for him, similar to what Jerry has secured long ago for his own family. So I think it was the right tone. It was the right content. And it was the proper message. I wouldn't have been as charitable after being openly disrespected by Jerry like that. I don't even know his name. Good Lord. I mean, how can you not know the name of one of the most prominent agents right now in the NFL, one of the most successful agents in the NFL? And this all comes down to basic trust and relationships. And Mulugeta recently negotiated a new contract for Derek Stingley with the Houston Texans. 3 years into his career, no clock ticking. You know, the Cowboys feel like they need to have a ticking clock in order to get deals done. You can get deals done if there's mutual trust and respect. And it's clear that the respect is not mutual between Jerry Jones and David Mulugeta.
Yeah, what would Jerry get out of this? First off, do you believe he did not know his name? Why would he do this? And I don't know how well you know Mulugeta, but do you expect him to allow this to factor into the negotiation? Like, okay, I'm going to make you pay a little more now.
I doubt that it'll be a factor. At the end of the day, it's going to be a significant contract. And the Cowboys are already leaking this idea that they've already offered Micah Parsons the best contract for a non-quarterback in NFL history. And, of course, that will tend to put pressure on Parsons to take it and overlook things like structure and guarantees and other details that could make the offer not as attractive as the headline in the report that clearly was leaked by the Cowboys. But I think that Jerry knows who he's dealing with. This is just the way that really, really rich people, obscenely rich people, this is how they make power plays. When the Carolina Panthers fired Frank Reich a couple of years ago during the season, the owner of the team, David Tepper, deliberately mispronounced his name and called him Reich multiple times. Who in the hell thinks Frank Reich's last name is Reich? And once is an accident, multiple times is just a signal, it's a message, and it's how the ultra rich stick it to people when they want to stick it to people. And That's what Muligeta is dealing with. At the end of the day, he's just trying to get the best contract possible for his client, and he'll get it. It's just a question of when. And here we are with the Cowboys. Once again, what do they do? What do they do? They drag their feet. They drag their feet instead of just sitting down and doing a deal. Guys, it could be done in an hour. This is simple. It's about the money. It's about the structure. It can be reached very quickly if both sides are willing to do it. And the Cowboys are willing to do it only if they can talk directly to Michael Parsons and cut the agent out of the process.
That's the thing, Mike, I can't wrap my head around, right? These are not dumb guys. They're going to be richer than all of our bank accounts ever put together times a million. Why wait? What are they seeing that we're not seeing in terms of not getting burned by the delays?
I just feel like the Cowboys, and this is where there isn't a completely seamless connection between the way Jerry made his money in oil and gas and how you successfully negotiate contracts in the NFL. He has built his empire on doing deals that are very good for him and maybe not as good for the other side. And it's about one deal after another, and you do a good deal, and it keeps, and it's win-lose, or at least I win, and whatever happens to you doesn't matter. You keep doing these good deals, and you think that that's the same way it works in the NFL. And so they feel like if they wait, one of these days the player is going to wake up and take the offer that's on the table. It really is nonsensical. And it has impacted the ability of the Cowboys to be as competitive as they need to be. They have put themselves in horrible positions. They'll never admit it. They'll never admit it.
Yeah.
They put themselves in an awful position with Dak Prescott by waiting too long to sign him. And then they waited too long to restructure his contract, and it put him in a horrible position again. They put themselves in a horrible position with CeeDee Lamb. It ended up costing more than it would have cost, and they didn't have him ready to go when the season started. So, and they've also made mistakes on the other side, too, like when you pay Michael Gallup and maybe you shouldn't have. When you use the franchise tag on Tony Pollard and maybe you shouldn't have and paid over $10 million, although that's a different vibe now than it was a couple of years ago. It's just, it's a weird way of doing business, and there's a stubbornness, and there's an arrogance, and there's an emperor's new clothes reality where who in the building is going to risk their own job by standing up and saying to Jerry or Steven, you guys are messing this up.
Mike Florio here
are
on the fan.
Are you guys going to do it? I mean, he's already threatened to fire you once.
it depends on how the recent contract negotiations go for us. Mike Florio here on 105.3 The Fan. Mike, how often is the agent cut out, and why would the NFLPA not be happy with Jerry?
Here's how this works. The NFLPA is the union that is there to represent the interests of the players collectively and individually. Collectively, what they do is they have a negotiating team that will meet with the league when a collective bargaining agreement is being discussed, negotiated, and finalized. Individually, the NFLPA has delegated its ability to represent every player to agents who are certified by the union and regulated by the union to negotiate contracts on behalf of players. That is the representative of the union who is representing the player in the talks. So when a player has decided to hire an agent, the NFLPA has delegated its exclusive authority to negotiate on behalf of the player to that agent. You can't just ignore that agent, and you can't just go talk directly to the player. And that's what Jerry likes to do. He likes to throw an arm around the guy, whether it's Dez Bryant, to whom he did it. He was doing it to Ezekiel Elliott. These comments, he was on your show, or at least your station in 2019, saying he was doing the same damn thing with Ezekiel Elliott, cutting out the agent. You know, the agent gets his piece and trying to look, they want to directly deal with the player because they're going to get a better deal if they directly deal with the player, because the player doesn't understand the nuances. The player doesn't understand the industry. The player doesn't understand the markets. You're going to be in a better position to get the player to do a bad deal if he's doing it on his own. And credit to Micah for making it clear there's not going to be any backroom deals here. He's going to have to deal with David Muligeta, and that's the bottom line. So the wait's going to continue, and the number's only going to keep going up. If T.J. Watt gets a new contract at some point soon, that's going to potentially drive the number even higher, and it's never going to get cheaper. That's what drives me crazy about this. Waiting never makes it cheaper. It only makes it more expensive. It delays the cap space you can create to do other business. And if the player holds out, he's not going to be as ready to go when week one rolls around as he could be.
So, Mike, if they were just having this discussion and Micah said, yeah, I'll do the deal right now, and David was not a part of that, even if Micah agreed to it, it's still not okay with the CBA and the league?
No. And the CBA specifically says that the commissioner must disapprove any contract that was negotiated directly with a player if he's represented by an agent and the agent is cut out of the loop. That is highly improper. And the NFLPA was looking into it 5 years ago. They never did anything about it then, but it tells me that whatever they did didn't stick, if they did anything, because here's Jerry doing it again. And look, this is just a reflection. It's billionaire's privilege. You can do whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. We see it all the time now. We're in post-standards America where people just do and say whatever they want to do. And the hell with the consequences. There are no consequences. I'm just going to do and say whatever I want to do. And that's what they're doing here. And, the problem is the fans line up behind the owner because the fans line up behind the laundry. The fans just want the players to be in the fold and happy. And the fans look at it and they say, well, how could he not be happy? He just said last week he'd be the happiest man on earth with $40 million a year. Why doesn't he just take the offer? Why doesn't he just sign the deal? Why doesn't he just get this behind us so we can worry about making the team better? It puts the players in a horrible spot because the teams know that's how you pressure a player. You turn the public against him. You make it look like he's being unreasonable and selfish. And they hope he's just going to wear down at some point and say, fine, I'll just take the damn offer.
Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. All right, so Mike, you say even if he agreed to it, that wouldn't matter. Does it change anything in terms of the way the PA would look at it or potentially want to take action against it if Micah had initiated the discussions?
Well, it's one thing to talk, but when you're talking about negotiation, when you're talking about working out the contract and getting it to the point where there's terms on paper and he's going to sign it, I mean, the agent has to be involved in this process. And Micah has made it clear, whatever talks he's had with Jerry, David is doing the contract, period. And there's a certain amount of cooperation that I think you need to have because ultimately you're trying to get this multi-billionaire to give you the contract. And if he wants to talk to you, so be it. But I would suspect there are plenty of agents out there who would tell their clients, never talk to the owner without me there. Never talk to anybody with the team about your contract without me there. They're going to try to get you to agree to things that aren't in your best interest. I need to be involved to make sure I know what's being said, and I know that what is said on your behalf is going to be the thing that needs to be said, and it doesn't undermine our position. It's tough. It's tough because the player is there around these people, working with these people, dealing with these people. They're on the same team. It is a strange dichotomy that is part of the business. There are moments where you have to take a step back from the team and take care of yourself, or they're going to take advantage of you, and that's the reality. The teams will always find a way to try to take advantage of the player any way they can to get him to take less. And cutting out the agent is the easiest way to get a player to take less.
Biggest takeaways from the owners' meetings?
Well, this tush-push thing has become the story of the offseason, and now we have to wait until late May to see what they're going to do about this rule. And it's the first time in the 50 years I've been following the NFL where I feel like there's, and I'm sure that there's been some rule changes that have been proposed in the past and to try to come up with phony arguments that mask what's really going on. But this is the first time I've seen health and safety concerns weaponized in a way that seems to be aimed at taking away the best club in the bag that the Eagles have. They've perfected this strategy of pushing the quarterback from behind and getting first downs, basically turning every first and 10 into a first and 8 because you know those last couple of yards are going to be automatic. And they say there's safety concerns. Well, where's the data? Well, there is no data. Well, then why are we having this conversation? Well, it could be unsafe. Well, when could it be unsafe? Well, I don't know. We need to monitor it. Oh, and by the way, it doesn't look like football. Well, what the hell does that mean? It doesn't look like football. And it's this moving target. And at the core, it just feels like petty jealousy because even though it's available to every team, only one team has perfected it. And we're going to see whether or not they turn the clocks back to 2005 when it was a violation to both pull and push a teammate. They removed the ban against pushing because they were never throwing a flag when a lineman would run downfield and shove the ball carrier when he was close to wherever he was trying to get the ball. Nobody thought, hey, one of these days somebody's going to turn this into part of their offense. And it's amazing to me to think the Eagles have figured it out and no one else can figure out either how to stop it or how to do it themselves. So it just feels like they're trying to erase it from the books and take away that edge that the Eagles have.
Loudest draft buzz that you're most interested in right now?
Well, I mean, the Shedeur Sanders talk is going to dominate and it's going to continue to dominate. And you hear all these different, oh, he's not going to be a round one pick. Of course he's going to be a round one pick. Of course somebody's going to take him in the first round. You're willing to take the risk of a bust at quarterback if you get a franchise guy. And there's three types of teams in the NFL: teams that have a franchise quarterback, teams that don't, and teams that have a guy that they hope will maybe at some point develop into a franchise quarterback. And the teams that know they don't have a franchise quarterback are going to be willing to roll the dice. One of them, all it takes is one. 31 can say there's no way Shedeur Sanders goes in round one. All it takes is one to say, yeah, you know, we probably should take him if he's there. I think that he's still got a very good chance of going top 10. And if not, I see like in the teens, a team is going to jump up and trade up and grab him. Because if he's there at 21 when the Pittsburgh Steelers are on the clock, I can't imagine they wouldn't take him. And I think you're going to have to get in front of 21. And it may be the Steelers who have to spring up to make sure they get him. But, you know, all this talk, because it's all over the place. Oh, he's not a first-round pick. Oh, he's not going to be a good NFL quarterback. Look, there's been a lot of guys who were both bad and good quarterbacks who went in round one relative to Shedeur Sanders. He's going to be just fine, I think. And that's going to be, you know, the big question mark as we head into the next 3 weeks.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com. Football Night in America, where are you with the book series?
Hey, 99 cents ebooks for Father of Mine, its sequel Son of Mine, and the next one is coming, hopefully by the start of football season, maybe sooner, whenever it's done. I just, you know, once it's done, one thing I've learned after doing about 10 of these, once it's done, it's not done. And you got to go back and you got to read and you got to read and you got to read. And with 400 pages or so, the challenge of finding every little glitch and every little typo and making sure everything is said the way you want it to be said and there's no better way to say it, it's a hell of a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. So 99 cents, ebooks, you can't buy anything for 99 cents. Father of Mine, Son of Mine on Amazon, 99 cent ebook. It's a little bit more if you want the hard copy, and some people prefer it. But if you want something cheap, right now, go to Amazon, 99 cents, Father of Mine and Son of Mine. That's $1.98 together, is my math right? That's yeah. Nothing. That's nothing. It's a newspaper nowadays. Do they even have newspapers anymore? I don't know. If they did, it'd be $1.98.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate it. Keep up the great work. Yeah. Mike Florio, D&M Leasing Hotline here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. Are your Texas Rangers last year's Kansas City Chiefs? And what type of weather are we dealing with to close out the week? Next. None of us know if it's going to work out. All we can do is react to the thought process and the move. And it's all praise, rare praise, for the Dallas Cowboys front office. After yesterday in the 9 o'clock hour, the news broke that they were giving up a fifth round pick for former Patriots quarterback Joe Milton and also getting a seventh rounder back. And we like the way it looks and sounds. Joe Milton, in case you did not know, coming out and saying that he grew up a Cowboy fan. My mom always had a Cowboy shirt on. She always talked about them. Living in Texas has been a lifelong dream of mine, and now I'm with them. I am ready to work. And this was Joe Milton after his fantastic. I went back and watched his game against Buffalo.
Well,
now,
all right.
Corey Majors had said a lot of dinks and dunks. I didn't see that. Now, I didn't watch like the whole game. I saw enough downfield throws where I was impressed. Now, it's one game. It was week 18, but you could hear the ball hitting the hands of the wide receivers with the TV broadcast. And Joe was going downfield. He was quick. He was decisive. Hopefully that continues here in DFW. And this is what Joe Milton sounds like on finally getting a chance to play.
Man, I'm going to be honest with y'all. Still to this moment right now, none of this feel real.
just because I did scouting the whole year. You know, I didn't know when my moment was going to come. You know, everybody around the building just kept saying the same thing. Just be ready for your moment. And I didn't know it was going to come, you know, today. Like I said all week, you know, if the opportunity presents itself, then I'll be ready. So none of this today still feels real. And even right now, it still doesn't. So I'm just trying to enjoy it the much as I can. But, you know, at the same time, you know, just be cheerful with my brothers and, you know, cherish the moments that I have right now before it's all over.
He was 22 of 29 for 241, a touchdown throwing. He also rushed for a touchdown and 16 yards. Todd Archer added other Cowboy thoughts when it came to making a quarterback move. The Cowboys had interest in adding Jacoby Brissett, but he signed with Arizona. They also discussed the possibility of Drew Lock. Joe Milton is under contract for 3 years at much lower numbers. And when I look at that list of options... Yeah. Sign me up for Joe Milton.
Sign me up for Joe Milton. He's Chuck Norris. He's Chuck Norris of the NFL.
He's Chuck Norris's age, too.
He's just a myth. All right? All the things he does is mythical. You know, it's like, it's just, you know, he doesn't just push-ups. He pushes the earth down. You know, like Joe Milton doesn't throw dinks and dunks. You know, Corey Major said that the other day. There's no dinks and dunks. Joe Milton could throw left-handed and throw the ball 40 yards downfield.
He knocks over the coffee when he tries to dunk. There's donut in it.
He just looks at the coffee cup. It's like the guy, he is, I guess, he is a mythical figure that just doesn't know where the ball's going, and that's his major flaw.
He is 2 months older than Trey Lance. He was in school for a while. Yeah. And so, but I mean, he's, all the traits are there. That's the thing. It is all a traits thing, and you essentially traded a sixth round pick for him, is what you did.
Albert Breer tried to bring up the Jimmy chart for the deal. The 171st pick is worth 23 points. The 217th pick is worth 4.2. So the trade value here is 18.8 points, equivalent to the 181st pick. He was drafted at 193 when he came out. So his lone start dropped the Pats from first to fourth in the draft order, a lost value of 1,200 points, same value as the 12th pick in the draft, which is Dallas's first rounder. So that's Albert trying to come up with Jimmy Johnson math.
No, I mean, it makes sense, though, because that if you're talking about how do you assign a point value to each pick when you give up a back end of the fifth and you pick up the very first pick of the seventh round, because that's what that pick is that they got. It's the very first one in the seventh round. Then that gap that you've created is essentially where Joe Milton got picked, which means you basically got a do-over to pick Joe Milton from last year is what you did.
Yep, that's it.
And to me, there's nothing to be unhappy about when you saw he played well in the preseason. He played well in his game against Buffalo. That's enough to say, well, he showed he can kind of put the talent together a little bit. So that's absolutely worth doing it over and taking him in the sixth.
Well, they're unhappy in New England. Oh, Mike Reese, who is the Todd Archer, covers the Patriots for ESPN. Here's what he tweeted. Trade of Milton for modest draft pick return sparks a thought that it was driven as much by QB room dynamics as anything else. It clears the runway for Drake May. There's also a thought in Boston. Jordan Schultz, friend of the station, NFL insider, Ian Rappaport enemy, came out and said there were better offers. There were other offers from the Raiders, Eagles, Giants, and Steelers. They had a better offer. I should say they had one better offer, interest from those other teams, but chose to send him where he wanted out of respect. What? And that has Felger and Maz sat behind us in, where was the Super Bowl?
New Orleans.
Sat behind us at a table in New Orleans. You guys weren't there. It was my dinner with my LSU buddy. And they are a dominant show in New England, and they're not happy about these reports.
Well, I think the Patriots have perfected the art of giving away quarterbacks for no good return. That's what it feels like to me. Jimmy Garoppolo, Tom Brady, Joe Milton, and I'm not telling you that he belongs in the same breath as either one of those guys, but fifth round pick. They drafted him in the sixth, right? Do I have that right? Someone sent me a text today saying it was a seventh. I remember a sixth. But so that's all they could get after that, and all the hype and all the bullcrap and all these people wanted to trade Drake May. Some of them, not all these people, but that's what it is, a fifth round pick.
Why bother trading him at all?
I agree. You should have held on to him. You should have gotten more for him. And then some of the reports out there saying that they had better offers on the table, but they wanted to accommodate Milton. Why? Since when does he get the kind of treatment you'd give a 10-year veteran in the league? Jacoby Brissett wants to go somewhere. He's put his time in. I would work with Jacoby Brissett. I would. I think his heart's in the right place. Like, fine, veteran guy, put his time in the league, no problem. You tell us where you want to go, and as long as it's not a huge difference, we'll accommodate your request. Joe Milton, who's been here 5 minutes, you got to keep him happy? Why?
I love it. And I agree. If it's true, you're accommodating him, yeah, a six-round pick who has been there for one season, not this lifelong backup. What they're trying to hang on to, based upon the Mike Reese report, and you had said that he's a good kid, they're trying to hang on to he was a problem in the meeting room. Quarterback room dynamics. And the other co-host on here says, if you know Mike Reese, Patriots insider, you know what he's trying to say.
So let's just say he's a total a-hole. Joe Milton is.
It's Bailey Zappe all over again. Like, this should be my job.
Okay, so he's an a-hole. And he's a pain in the ass. He's a pain in the ass internally. He's a chance to be a pain in the ass in the room.
Good. So you just trade him for nothing?
Right, exactly. That's the part I don't get.
As opposed to... and look, if the return's good enough, you give up on the potential. But the kid does have potential. I have no idea. I mean, no, I'm guessing he's not going to be an NFL quarterback. He's probably not. Too raw, not accurate enough, whatever. But we're wrong about this stuff all the time. He's got tools out the wazoo.
Correct.
So why wouldn't you just hold on and see? Unless someone makes it really worth your while. Dallas did not make it worth your while. You moved up from the 7th to the 5th. Who gives a rat's ass?
So they're not happy about the compensation. They're not happy about the idea that Joe was accommodated. Would that surprise you to hear, Choppy, Tennessee Vol, that Joe was raising havoc or being a problem behind the scenes?
It's everything that was like opposite of what happened in Knoxville when he lost his job to Hendon Hooker. And I mean, they moved in together. They became like best friends. Like, that's everything opposite of what I heard. I think the reality is that I think Drake saw him as a threat.
Mm.
There's your quarterback room. But I know it's weird that they would say quarterback dynamic and they would just go to Joe Milton and say he was the problem. No, the reality is probably Drake felt a little bit insecure about the whole thing.
They wanted the other Tennessee quarterback. They wanted Josh Dobbs.
Yeah.
And once they got Josh Dobbs, then they had no more use for Joe Milton. Honestly, it was just they didn't need him anymore. And honestly, I got to look at this. When was Dobbs in Tennessee with the Titans? Was that with Vrabel?
It was with Vrabel.
So that was with Vrabel. This is Vrabel just wanting his own guy to back him up. And so that you're going to accommodate it. Vrabel probably felt bad. Like, hey, I know your expectation was you were going to be the backup here. I've got my own person I'm going to bring in. So I'll tell you what, we're going to facilitate a trade to make sure that you go where you want to go, because I know this isn't what you signed up for.
You know how they do the on the Facebook, they do the meta.
The Facebook? It hasn't been called that in 20 years, John.
I know, right? They do the content summary, where the comment summary.
Oh, yeah, the creepy AI summary of what we're all talking
where
about.
Where they summarize everybody's comments, so you don't have to go filter through them. On this Joe Milton story, it said, commenters overwhelmingly disapprove of the Patriots trade, feeling they received too little in return. They believe his potential and talent were undervalued. Even Meta knows this is a bad deal.
And the Cowboys are getting good grades
from
the evaluators.
Seth Walter of ESPN gave the Cowboys an A-. CBS Sports gave the Cowboys a flat A in the trade. They gave Patriots a C. Walter gave the Patriots a C for their return. So that's really, really solid. And, you know, the Cowboys... They got more for a late five than they got for Mingo and Trey Lance.
Look, I mean,
they made up for it.
Look, I remember when Dan Quinn got hired here in Dallas, there was a handful of people, not most. Most everybody was happy with it. There was a handful of people who were complaining. and just going, another dumb hire, another one. And I said at the time, I was like, if you are upset with the hire, you want to be upset. That's what you've made up in your mind. You just want to be upset about everything that happens. If you're upset here in Dallas about this Joe Milton trade, which there's a handful I saw.
Yeah.
Which is, bargain shopping again. But there's nothing to be upset about this. If you're upset with this trade, you just want to be unhappy about everything with the Cowboys. That's fine. But just recognize you're going to complain about everything with the Cowboys and be unhappy all the time.
I agree. 877-881-1053. Franklin Franco, injury attorney, text line here on DFW Sports Station. We're your home of the Dallas Cowboys, and it's the return of the Rangers tonight against the Rays pregame right here on this station. Ice Cube with a personal message back to the morning show for being an ignore and a hater. That's next right here. We got a final ticket giveaway for you being a Tolo during the 720 Expressway. We want you to win that as part of the 6 a.m. Club. Ice Cube fires back next. K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip.
And we had a lot of NFL doings transpiring today. So remember the Lions proposed to eliminate automatic first down for defensive holding?
I do.
That did not pass.
Oh.
They said no dice. So you need 24 of the 32 votes to get it passed.
How many do you know how many they got?
I don't think I've seen that vote count.
I agree with that. I think the holding should be a penalty, but you're already going 10 yards.
Yeah.
And now you get the first down. I agree with them trying to pursue that.
Because it's the back breaking. It was 3rd and 25, and you got that, and you're like,
automatic first
down. Fine, then make it 3rd and 15 or 13, depending on where the spot of the foul was or whatever.
Yeah, I do hate that but it is one of those that the referees can really control a game if they decide they want to call it. Because we're told all the time, holding's on every play. It's just a matter of if they decide to call it or not.
Now, what the NFL did decide to approve, they approved expansion of replay assist. So, for some people, they'll love it. For some people, they'll be like, why? And you'll still get it wrong anyway.
Is this like the ABS?
Kind of. So, they're now going to allow you can check on hitting a defenseless player, grabbing the face mask, horse collar, tripping.
Okay.
Not tricking.
So many tricks. When it comes to baseball, they were like, we need to make the game faster.
Yep.
And hey, how much time is it going to take with the automatic balls and strikes system? Oh man, not that much time. We're actually good.
Yeah.
With football, nobody's asking for the game to be shorter.
I think you're right. I think the NFL is still kind of obsessed with keeping it in that 3-hour window.
But they also do want to get things right. For the most part, it sounds like they want to get calls right. And the fans want that too. Because then we have the controversies of, it was a catch. No, it wasn't a catch. Des caught it. No, he didn't catch. They were supposed to get that one right, and they still effed it up.
Right.
But they do want to get it right, and I think fans definitely want that to be right as well.
The owners did also pass the rule guaranteeing each team a possession in overtime. Now, we had talked about this. Actually, we've been talking about this for a while. This is something that could potentially slow down the game, although you're still going to have the maximum of 10 minutes in the overtime. I know some people wanted to push that back to 15 as well. Do you like the idea of the rules falling more in line with how they do in postseason?
I don't care in the regular season, honestly.
Okay.
Now, there's going to be a team that it matters a lot to them, but it's going to be that one team. And it might be the Cowboys, and we'll be like, dadgummit, I can't believe this happened. Well, score more points in regulation, and you don't have to worry about it, or stop a team from scoring. But it does feel like once you get to the playoffs, if you've never experienced it, you don't know what to do. Maybe you don't have a real system built for it because you didn't do the same thing in the regular season. That's a trial period for the playoffs. So that's the one reason that I would say
I want that trial period. But that's what practice is for as well. Practice for those situations.
Quick football logic question for you guys. Would you still always take the ball first? Because I know in college overtime, there's thought that like going second, you can see exactly what the other team did. And you could still do that in the NFL. But if it's still tied after you both get that one possession, then it's sudden death. So it does feel like still having the ball first is the way to go.
I want to take the ball, score, put pressure on them to now score, hype up my defense.
Like, would you go for two or just kick the extra point?
Man. So more often than not, Kevin, I am going for two.
Okay.
I'm probably not kicking extra points in the regular season most of the time. I'm one of those guys like, no, let's get 2 points. Let's get eight every time. They're giving us a chance to get eight. We might as well take eight from them. And I want my team to have that mentality. I'm more Dan Campbell in that respect.
Okay.
It might not be the logical thing. It might not work out for me.
I gotcha.
But if my team starts expecting it, hey, we're always going for eight. We're never going for seven. So that would probably be my approach.
Same question for you, Alec.
I think I'm still taking the ball first because I do like the idea of putting pressure on the other team, because if you can get them to press offensively, they're going to try to do too much more times than not. They're going to think that they have to make every play count. So if they try a little too hard on every play, or maybe they get into a pass happy mode where they're like, we're going to throw the ball three times in a row, then hey, that's their problem, not mine. And to Corey's point, get that defense hyped up, them knowing that, hey, we don't, like, obviously if we get a stop here, we win, but we also have those 7 points, maybe even 8 points to go along with it. So it's not the end of the world. We get another shot at this thing as a team.
Would you choose to go for two regularly? I mean, I get it. A lot of this can be situationally based depending on what kind of game it's been and all that. Just as like a blanket statement, do you think you would usually just go for the extra point or go for two?
I think in 2025, people are going to look at you weird in a situation like that if you don't go for two. Like, I think it's going to become more and more common, and that purist mindset is going to start to go away. Dan Campbell is going to be the pioneer of it, but, you know, I think a lot of teams are going to start, the younger head coaches that start cycling in. Maybe it is Kellen Moore who starts it off this year with the Saints. He's like, I don't care if we got the best kicker in the league, whoever that might be at any given time, we're just going to go for two because we think offensively we are smarter than you.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, a couple of things got tabled, which, look, you can break that down a couple of different ways. I think the thought is that they had built up some momentum, but didn't have the votes yet to make it pass. Two things that got tabled: the Lions reseeding of the postseason. That was the Lions' suggestion about not giving division winners an automatic 1-4.
Because the NFC South is so terrible, that and they're just like, they don't deserve a home game.
That is probably true. And then the other thing that got tabled is you're going to have to deal with more talk about the tush push. Can you handle more discussion about this?
I don't care.
Because you're just beat down by it, right? Pick one or the other.
Sure, but I also, I'm for it. If you can do it, then do it. What I was asking Wolchuk, I think this may have been off air, is I want to know the percentage of time that the push from behind doesn't even matter for the Eagles. What they get with the two guards and center, the push they get there, and then the sneak from Jalen Hurts, that's good enough.
Yeah.
I think most of the time they get the yardage they want. It's the extra yard and a half that everybody's upset about, I think, because the push comes from that. So if they're doing a quarterback sneak, what's the problem? If they're that successful on it.
Yeah.
And we've seen players get pushed before. We see offensive linemen and guys on the goal line. They're like, hey, let's just kind of lean into them. Or the pile's moving and then they finally blow the whistle. I don't understand what the big problem is. Other than people go, we don't know how to stop it. So the only way to stop it is by eliminating it from the game. And that's what I hate.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. Now, I don't know if Jets owner Woody Johnson watched Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure before this quote, but he was asked about, hey, you got an F in the players' rankings for ownership. And he said, my first reaction, I think it's totally bogus. Then he derided the survey as, quote, not fair, and said if the players are unhappy, they need to tell him. Quote, I can't do anything if you don't tell me. Does this count as telling you? Like, I know they didn't directly, I get what he's saying. Like, hey, come to me person to person. Like, I get that. But surely this now counts as telling you, right? Like, a huge percentage of everyone's team voted on this, and they gave you an F.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that counts.
Now isn't he like the, aren't they saying, hey, we're laying you off for cultural purposes if y'all want to take this buyout now? Like, isn't that,
I think they just rolled,
Jets just rolled out this idea where they're doing that. So, hey, we learned from our survey.
Thanks a lot, Aaron.
That we stunk. I think it's bogus, but now I'm going to give everybody an option to get a buyout, get 18 months, something like that, and we'll move on from that. I don't know. Like, if you think it's bogus, then probably you're not changing things.
And I don't know if you guys have strong opinions about this as well. We talked about the probability of this. In fact, the high probability of it. The NFL is moving the spot of touchbacks back up to the 35. Now, we talked about it, how it got moved to the 30, hopefully, and with the new kicking rules, they would spur on some more returns. They got more returns, but not as many as I think they anticipated. So now they're going to increase it to the 35.
Is this encouraging more field goals?
It might be. I think
more Brandon Aubrey's.
See, I think if I'm the Cowboys, I'm like, great, 15 yards, we got a shot. I think the NFL is viewing it as further incentive because they really seem to want to jumpstart the kickoff thing, which is weird because it feels like we've discussed how there's more injuries on the kickoff versus anything else. And so they're trying to be safer, but they're also trying to jumpstart it. There's a lot going on that the NFL is trying to pull off.
I like this idea. Multiple people have texted this in, but the idea of the tush push, what if Jalen Hurts did it for an entire 8 minutes in overtime and they just tush push the whole way down the field and then they got their points?
I'm not going to lie. There's been a couple of times when the Eagles were in 3rd and 3 and they run a different play that's like maybe an incomplete pass. And I'm like,
why not
just do back-to-back tush pushes? Like, if you know you're going to be getting your yard and a half, maybe your 2 yards. So maybe it's 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3. That thought has crossed my mind a million times.
Yeah.
By the way, the NFL is very concerned about player safety. I've told you that's why they redid some of the kickoff rules. Also, now you only have to flex a game to Thursday Night Football within 21 days. Now, it was 28 days, and they decided, you know what? 4 weeks is too long for you to think you're going to go from playing Sunday. Now you have to play on Thursday. We're only going to give you 3 weeks. It's things like that. That's fine if that's what you want to do. But I don't think that always works in cooperation with we're looking out for the best interests of player safety.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Maybe you shouldn't be flexing because they're like 4 weeks is too long because some of these teams got worse again.
If safety is really important, get rid of the Thursday night and Monday night games.
Yes, or definitely don't flex the Sunday game.
Matter of fact, make there be a week between each game or 2 weeks between each game. If you're really concerned about them,
you know what? And I think
shorten the season even more.
And I think if the NFL was really smart, they could cycle through a little bit and only play each team only plays every other week, but you would still have your slate of 8 games per week. And look, there's a lot to think about.
Shorten the season, Kevin, to like, I don't know, 8 games total.
That's not what we're going to do,
Corey.
And
double up the price because supply and demand.
Instead, they're concerned about player safety and they're going to add another game.
Okay.
Although I do think they're going to add another bye week, and that is going to be the new NFL schedule.
Here we go. Hour one, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan here on a Toxic Tuesday in the G-Bag Nation. It's a three-hour Tuesday. They're taking on the Reds once again this afternoon. Pre-game coming up at 5 o'clock. General at your service. If you see me, beer me. N.A. There's Broadus, former Cowboy Scout, a Super Bowl champion. You have Ross Lebinski in the Pimp Cup in for Lucius today. Once again, send L.A. some love on social. Let him know he's missed. Of course, you have Wolchuk and Chiafalo reunited, and it feels so good. And Carter Freeman is coordinating your video. You can watch us online, Twitch, YouTube, and thank you for making us part of your day. So what an eventful day it's been. This is just a sports content goldmine paradise that we're in right now, guys, with everything going on. Just appreciate that. But Micah has spoken. A lot of things have been said about Micah. You know, I my read is this is Jerry kind of putting a charge of fire into the deal to make it the lights a little bit brighter and to maybe negotiate a little bit at the same time. But my thought is Mulligetta is going to win because good agents know how the Cowboys are doing. It's an easy pattern to follow, and then you win in the end. You make your your client Rich. But Jerry was asked about why they're trying to circumvent the agent David Mulligetta, and Jerry said, who? Don't even know who that is.
That's a great line, though.
Clarence Hill tweeted, Jerry Jones with blatant disrespect to Micah. Micah's agent, David Mulligetta. The agent is not a concern here. I don't know his name. Okay. Mulligetta is one of the best and most respected in the NFL. Micah retweeted that and said facts, among other things. Said, there's no one I trust more when it comes to negotiating contracts than David. There will be no back doors in this contract. So this is a spicy public negotiation. What's your guys' read on it?
Well, latest from Jory Epstein, our friend, said multiple sources confirmed to her that Micah asked Stephen and Jerry to call his agent, David Mulligetta, to negotiate. Sources confirm also that the Joneses have not made that call. Mulligetta has talked with the Cowboys director of salary cap player contracts, Adam Pacifica. So Mike is saying, hey, call my agent. Let's get this done.
It's kind of a breach of protocol. You know, I don't know. Are the Cowboys uniquely being tough here on Mulligetta because of something in the past? Are they just refusing to talk to the agent as part of a negotiation? It doesn't seem like fair practices or whatever you'd call it, if you ask me. I think you talk to agents to try to get deals done, not try to work around them. But
I mean, maybe that worked in the 90s.
Yeah.
Maybe that's how they were able to get some deals done then. Times have changed, my man. And if you listen to some of the stuff that Todd France in that podcast yesterday, maybe we'll get to that a little bit.
Sure.
They tend to get bent over backwards in these deals.
That's why they're avoiding the agents. It happened with Zeke and his agent. They just got tore up in those negotiations. Same thing with Dak now, not once, but twice. So I totally get why they would try to circumvent the agent there. And to Jerry's credit, I think he's just being brutally honest about the fact that he doesn't know this guy's name. I don't think he's even trying to be mean there. He's like, I don't even know half the guys on my roster, damn it.
That would be hilarious if Jerry truly doesn't know who David Mulligetta is.
He might not.
Yeah.
Is that a surprise?
It should be. I mean,
it should be for somebody who's the owner and general manager.
What's not being reported is after he said that, he was like, is Marowich still our kicker? And he was just asking.
Yeah, you know, a lot of different interpretations of this. I think, you know, Jerry's once again got us talking, and maybe that's the narrative that I would buy on, like, how is this happening or why is this happening right now? But, you know, maybe it's just the way Jerry goes about his business right now. I know Mike McCarthy felt like it was weird how the negotiation went, or, you know, the lack of negotiation or contacting his agent.
Yeah, Don Yee and they really never got to where it even became a discussion. The number of years were a problem for the McCarthy side, and, you know, Jerry said, well, that's what we're going to do, and we're going to move on if that's the case, and they did. I think the last thing I'd want to do in this negotiations would be to piss off David Mulligetta.
Yeah.
That's the last thing I would do. This guy will hold a grudge, and he will hold a grudge, and he will make the Cowboys pay. And I guarantee you, when the deal's done and it's one of the bigger contracts ever in the history of the National Football League, David Mulligetta will raise a glass of champagne and say, now they know my effing name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think you need to be real careful with this one, because this guy is he's shrewd. He's tough. He is going to do every dime he can out of the negotiations. And in this case, if you piss him off, he might even take more blood from you. So I would be really, really careful if I'm the Cowboys and how you handle him.
He's everything the Cowboys haven't been for 30 years, a winner. He gets the most for every one of his clients. First ever fully guaranteed contract, he got that. Deshaun Watson, highest paid safety contract in history. Antoine Winfield Jr., come on up. Highest paid corner contract, the last two this offseason. Derek Stingley, J.C. Horn, that's David Mulligetta. Shame on you for really not knowing the agent's name. You damn well should if you want to have some serious conversations about paying your superstar.
I wonder if the Cowboys might be the ones that are ticked off here, though. You know, if Jerry does know who Mulligetta is, which I assume he does, and
maybe
he's
just
saying,
didn't want to pronounce
that? Probably
his
just doesn't remember the name.
He just wanted to. I don't think he wanted to pronounce the name. I think
that could be true.
Probably something.
Well,
I mean,
it'd been a hell of a drop when you pair it with him trying to work around Mulligetta. I think this is Jerry Jones playing coy. Like, who are you talking about? I'm just talking with Micah Parsons about the deal. I'm not talking with the agent. Mike has asked him to call him, and he's acting like he doesn't know who he is. Huh. this is a consistent pattern, I think, where, you know, Jerry is trying to work around the agent, perhaps because, again, he's already mad at him for something. That's my read, is Jerry's not doing this out of confusion for who one of the most powerful agents in the NFL is. He's doing it to publicly dunk on him. At 877-881-1053, if you'd like, the Franklin Frankel injury attorney text line is open. Whatever the case, they are perhaps playing with fire?
I think so. I think so. I think this, you know, you do have a, it appears that Jerry, he's always had a really good relationship with his star players, you know, and he's, and Tony Romo talks about the story the first time that he ever, him and Bill Parcells and Jerry all met in a little room. And they were, and then Jerry was trying to like, listen, you're going to sign this deal, you know, and you know, Micah really does want to be here, and you know, he's, and Jerry sensed that, and Jerry's thinking, well, let's get this deal done without talking with David about it, I'm sure, and that's not going to work. That's not how it, that might have worked in 1989. It's not working today.
I feel like it worked with Tyron Smith in like 2013 or something. They got a very team-friendly deal.
Maybe, yeah. The Cowboys have proven if they have a really good relationship with agents, and they had a really, they had a good one with the, with Odighizuwa. You know, they had one. They will get deals done that way. They will get deals done if, in fact, it's not the highest, you know, the highest paid player they at that position. They'll get that deal done. But then they'll, you know, then they'll have to give in, they'll cave, and you know, it ultimately it looks bad on them. But if Mulligetta is playing this the right way, he just needs to be, he just be silent, let Micah handle things the way he wants to handle, because Micah will be outspoken about it.
Yeah, talk Mike, about Mike it as is, much as you want.
Micah's got the platform to say whatever he wants to say, and Mulligetta didn't have to say a word. That man's negotiated almost $1 billion worth of contracts. So now that he knows what he's doing.
But Micah was willing to take less than 40. Now that you've brought disrespect into the equation, maybe this becomes personal for him. Yeah. I could definitely see why, you know, you would allow it to. But, you know, I do wonder, like, the Cowboys drew a line with Randy Gregory and said, no, we're not doing it. Screw you. Yeah. I wonder if at some point in these free agent negotiations where these high-powered agents just wait them out and then reset the market at each position, if they do draw a line in the sand, you know, and maybe this is the one with a guy who doesn't always make the best impression around the building.
If you're going to draw the line in the sand, then get on the phone and start talking about trading him, you know, if you're going to do that. Don't let this thing, don't have it turn into a situation like with Jalen Brunson and others that have walked out of here, you know, because of mess ups with the contract and things. If your intention is not to get this thing done, or you don't think it can get done, then you need to get on the phone and start trying to shop this guy.
And it's a heck of a lot easier to draw the line in the sand when it is Randy Gregory compared to the best in the business. You know, this is top of the market stuff, and they're traditionally, they cave to the top of the market guys, Lamb, Dak, Zach Martin. And then, of course, Micah now. That's the expectation.
Yeah. Yeah, I would not be in the business of trying to move on from him. I would be, you know, wanting to get the deal done and have a great relationship with the agent. But, you know, Micah is the last star player from his draft class that does not have a deal done yet. And I wouldn't be surprised if this goes into franchise tag land. And again, I do think Jerry Jones, part of this is, you know, juicing up that news media cycle of covering this thing.
Yes,
he's getting a tremendous amount of money, and he's such a great actor, as we saw in Landman.
He's a good actor.
I think there is a hold my beer and watch this component when, you know, high drama plays out like this, almost predictably so, and I appreciate it.
A part of me feels like that's almost giving them too much credit. I really think this is just how they operate.
Yeah.
They don't have to do anything until they have to do something, until the deadline is actually here. Otherwise, why do we care? We're living about it day by day. We're fat, happy. We got 3 Super Bowls. We're the richest organization in sports. We don't have to do anything. Micah, you can ask me to call the agent. I don't have to get a deal done with you right now. When I have to, I'll pick up the phone. I'll call the agent. I think we give them too much credit a little bit here, because the Cowboys are going to be talked about regardless if there's a Micah deal, there's a Dak deal, name the player. The Cowboys will find some way to be in the news. So that's like, it's an okay narrative. I don't know. I don't think that it really plays.
I think, you know, what I'm basing it off of is over the years, just hearing stories of Jerry saying offhanded comments to family members like, well, we got a lot of traction out of that one. We got like 48 hours out of that soundbite. You know, I do think Jerry looks at media engagement as a game for how much he can keep the Cowboys in the news cycle. And when they haven't been in for a while or it's shaping up to be a boring offseason, he's got a knack for having the timing to strike, you know, when it's hot and to sort of drag this thing out. You know, because they're not bad negotiators, Zach. I mean,
it seems like they are, though.
They're some of the best businessmen in the NFL. See, that's what I'm saying.
But not with NFL contracts. It hasn't proven to be that way.
That's why it only makes sense that they're doing it on purpose for the engagement. Is because are they just randomly horrible at negotiating player contracts?
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
No, they're bad at it.
They're doing this on purpose.
We will play this Todd Ferentz audio later, and you will circle back. You tell me if you think they played this well, if they're good at it.
They are some of the greatest negotiators, and they always know the opportunity being lost.
I don't think that they're good negotiators anymore when it comes to football contracts. I think that's proven to be false, that they're good. They might have been at one time. They are no longer good at it.
Well, I mean, they don't know how to win a Super Bowl. You know, that's clear.
And a big reason is their salary cap is always screwed. And why is that? Because they wait to the end to do all of these deals. And then when they don't learn from it, even when they say they've learned from it, they then will say, no, we haven't learned from it. And then again, they're going to go through the exact same thing where they wait to get the deal done and it's going to screw themselves.
So what they get, what they lose is a couple $2 million a year. What they get is tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars of brand exposure from people like you and me, but on a national level, on a global level, in several different languages, talking about this constantly around the calendar.
Yeah.
That is worth way more than losing a couple of millions of dollars on the salary cap.
Kevin, we're going to talk about them regardless.
No.
If it's a contract or not.
Not
every
right now.
Every day we're looking not for right things now. To talk about for the
Baseball
Cowboys.
Baseball started. NCAA tournament started. Most of the country cares about the NBA a lot more. This is football country. We will locally, but not as much.
The NFL drafts in 3 weeks.
They're about to take the entire first segment where we talk about five or six different things. We talked about one thing right now.
Yeah.
It's the Cowboys with 3 weeks to go until the draft.
And we could have done it exactly talking about what Brian Schottenheimer said about the draft. There's always an angle that you can use with the Cowboys. It doesn't have to be the contracts.
Yeah, I mean, the draft stuff is good, right?
Yeah.
Those days, there's not the zing. This has the zing to it.
This is the zing.
Jerry's a zing guy.
Because it's Jerry saying something that is foolish again.
Yep. I mean,
it's like the crazy uncle that's saying wacky things at the table that you're like, oh, God, please stop.
Which sparks so many different conversations. Like, maybe they're so ticked off at him, they will trade him. You got to go down that guarantee. That's going to be on ESPN and NFL Network tonight.
No, it's true.
At least 20 segments. All right. What else is going on here in the G-Bag Nation? Rangers were embarrassed in Cincinnati. 6-run innings. Ellie De La Cruz torpedo batted his way to 7 ribbies. We need to get some of these torpedo bats. Apparently, Jock Peterson's up for it.
He immediately said he's going to torpedo bat immediately.
I think he's ordering a bunch of them.
Yeah.
He's like, yep, want them.
Yep.
And I'm taking them right into the game.
Those things are going to be on back order real quick.
Yeah.
Torpedo.
Mark Church couldn't keep his hat on. Bochy had to pull him. He was trying to figure out the comms device, and it was a bad scene. It was kind of embarrassing. Pre-game coming up again tonight at 5 o'clock. Evaldi on the hill for the Rangers. Mavs couldn't get anything going against the Nets sustainable, even though Gafford returned and he was amazing. They lose 113-109.
Yeah.
24 points in the third quarter, 22 in the fourth.
Bad fourth overall. I mean, the fact that Brooklyn, it's the first time that Brooklyn's won back-to-back games, by the way, since All-Star break.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Wow, that's tough. That's a bad loss. That is a bad loss. G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 2:30. Jack Leiter is next in the Nation. Let me get this in from KD Drummond because I teased it. We go to Cowboys Wire. 10 remaining free agents who could start for your Cowboys.
Right.
Amari Cooper is one of them. I put that in the post-draft, maybe post-OTA plan. If we just hate what our wide receivers are looking like after that, I think you put Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen, Tyler Lockett, and maybe Deontay Johnson. All four of them are on this list.
I think they all go in that category. Brian, what do you think?
The one that I would be really, really interested in is Keenan Allen.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one that I would. And nothing against Amari Cooper. But, yeah, if you told me that I had a chance to post-draft, and, you know, we'll see if Dallas, in fact, does draft one. I think they're trying to kind of okey-doke us and make us think like they're really, really happy with their wide receiver room. But in reality, they're thinking like we need to get some help here with CD and get some help for Dak.
Keenan Allen, not young, 33 years old, but still had 70 catches for Chicago last year with a bad offensive line and a rookie quarterback.
Throws it all over the place, yeah.
That's great production right there. The Deontay Johnson situation is just crazy that he's been on four teams in 18 months. He must just be a total knob.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I thought that was going to be a nice move in the middle of the year for the Ravens. Add an extra weapon to the offense. That thing fizzled out. It was a total disaster. That'd be a total stay away for me.
Mike Hilton seems like a guy that you'd still want there. He's a slot corner. He blitzes. He had 12 tackles for loss last year. Decent ball skills.
Yeah, that's Chief, a guy.
But is he a banged up guy?
No question. Yes. Yeah, I think that's
why people are scared of him, right?
Yes.
I need to ask about him on Gang of Seven.
But that's a thing. That's a guy for sure. After the draft, the cornerback situation is in my mind terrible right now for the Cowboys. If you don't get one in the draft, that's a no-brainer post-draft signing.
They made the trade today for Joe Milton. Talking this week, they said they're not done in free agency. I don't know if this trade qualifies as that, but if they're still looking, it's got to be one of these guys. The guard Brandon Scherff is out there, top five pick in 2015. Last year, he was 14th best among guards in pass block win rate. Could be too expensive. Plus, they already brought in the veteran guard Jones.
Yeah.
But I'd love it if they brought in another offensive lineman here. The tackle with the Browns, Jedrick Wills. Would you have him compete with Guyton at left tackle?
Man, what happened to him? I mean, I'm just saying that out loud because I don't know what happened to him, you know?
Yeah.
He was a guy that I think
he's been injured guy too.
Yeah, but man, he completely has fallen off the cliff, you know. Another guy I probably need to ask about there with Wills.
Yeah, talented guy.
Yeah.
You know, has a lot to like and, you know, probably better than Guyton at this point, although maybe just putting Guyton out there and seeing if he can get it figured out is the best plan here for him in year two. The safety, Justin Simmons, is available again, 32 career picks. He was just in Atlanta, played well. Cowboys going with Hooker and Wilson again. That's just so disappointing.
I think that Todd France represents Simmons, so I don't know if that's one of those ones that you kind of that maybe there's not a great relationship there. So I would say that's probably why Dallas isn't sniffing around on that one. They're bringing in guys on 30 visits and stuff like that fit that safety mode.
And then final guy here on Katie's list is Will Hernandez from the Cardinals. They're another guard.
I think Jones, it says a lot. I think that the fact that his line coach is here, you know, as the offensive coordinator in Dallas, really couldn't get anything done there. Or maybe he said, I wouldn't bring him in. So that everybody was kind of connecting the dots, but doesn't sound like that's something that's going to materialize.
469 says, Gavin, your guy Leiter was interviewed after his first start, and he credited Evaldi with helping him with the lineup and what he was seeing. That's Richie from Ennis.
I don't think you were disagreeing with that. I don't think I was just asking the question. Do you feel like that maybe that Evaldi starts and all of a sudden batters don't have the confidence, and then Jack Leiter with command of pitching, maybe the elevated fastball and then the slider, that maybe that he's kind of taking advantage of some things that, you know, that Evaldi was able to kind of show him. But I think give Evaldi credit for the way he's pitched, but also Jack going out there and following him up. I think Jack being in the second, that'd be a lot of pressure, I think, for a guy that really coming into the season, there were some questions about, but he's been outstanding following Leiter in these games. Following Evaldi in these games.
Yeah, I'm sure there's something to Evo and knowing the type of guy that he is and how he's trying to give everyone as much wisdom as he possibly can. He's definitely taken Leiter under his wing. And, hey, I just saw this lineup yesterday. Here's a couple of things to think about with these guys. There's no question it's helpful. But all the work that Jack Leiter put in the offseason is what allows him to take whatever it is that Evaldi's giving him and actually be able to go out there and perform and execute it.
Yes, sir. Totally agree. Now, tomorrow is probably going to be Mally. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Tomorrow's a Mally day.
Looking for redemption for old Mally.
And then DeGrom on Saturday. Yeah, that was interesting. Okay, NFL news of the daytime, Chief. Where are you taking
us? Another quarterback gets a deal done, plus the Cowboys continue to live rent-free in the minds of filthy fans next in the nation.